In your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 17 for our Old Testament reading this afternoon. First Kings 17, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is, before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother, and Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. This is a great chapter, so many practical and helpful lessons to learn. So the first thing is Elijah the Tishbite from Gilead is sent unto Ahab. This is where he is introduced, Elijah, into the narrative in 1 Kings. Notice what he does. He is sent to the king, and he is said, or he is told to say to him, there shall be no rain these years. May I say that when the Lord speaks in such terse sentences as that is not a good sign, and yet it is certainly adequate. Ahab knew why Elijah was sent to him simply by him. Notice how it said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Ahab knew exactly why the Lord was shutting down the skies. It was because of their idolatry. Ahab didn't have to ask. He knew what was going on. That's certainly my opinion on the passage. The Lord was not short in communicating. He was short in the words he spoke, and the reason he was because of his anger and displeasure. So when the Lord speaks with that kind of terseness, it's a sign of his displeasure, but he is still communicating loud and clear. Now in verse 2, the Lord tells Elijah to go and to hide himself by the brook Kereth before Jordan. Okay, some folks have looked at this passage and they've said, you see, this passage teaches us that we need to have hermitages and cenobites in the church. Cenobite, C-E-N-O-B-I-T-E. It's a species of monasticism. The Lord did not send Elijah to the wilderness by himself to be a monk. He sent him there to protect him and hide him from the wrath of Ahab, as he will do a little bit later when he sends him to the mountain of God by a similar sort of miraculous event to hide from Jezebel, who has threatened to kill him. Okay, so this is not a promotion of monkism or monkishness or the cell or the cenobite or anything like that. This is a means of protection. And the Lord sent him there and fed him there for many days. And he fed him in a miraculous way in that he sent ravens to bring him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Well, what an amazing and quaint way to eat. You know, some of you might think to yourself, I want to go out to a new restaurant. It'll be a new and exciting experience. Well, what an exciting experience to get up in the morning and here come the ravens with bread and flesh, and then in the evening here they come again with bread and flesh. The Lord was certainly kind to his prophet as he separated him out and cared for him, and he stayed there until the water of the brook Kereth dried up. So then the word of the Lord came to him and said, "Arise and go to Zarephath." Of course, the Lord Jesus will make use of this in Luke chapter 4, as we've read before. And what happens is the Lord says, "I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now, we don't know exactly what that means, but it may be that the woman has a sense of what's coming. So by the time Elijah gets there, notice that she seems to evince a kind of faith that is indeed in some ways extraordinary. Just like Peter a little bit ago in the draft of the fishes, she has to work against reason, against sense, against experience. Isn't that right? And so what happens? He shows up and he sees her and she's gathering up two sticks. She's got about a handful of grain and a few drops of oil, and she's going to pound that into a cake, make a little fire and dress it up, and then bake it. And she's going to split it in half with their son. And that's all they have to eat for the foreseeable future. And they're going to wait for death. That's what she says. That's her expectation. But now this prophet shows up and says to her, "Make first a cake for me." Well, there are two ways we might go with this. We might say that her faith was great, that God had prepared her. We might also say, and this is an interesting thing to think of, that when we hear that invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, we might also be tempted to think, well, if I give up, you know, I may have to give up too much. Or we may be tempted to think, what I have is so little, I had best give up to him. Isn't that right? Such that when the Lord Jesus bids us come unto him, anything that would keep us from him is indeed not worth having, not worth keeping. And so Elijah calls upon her to make him a cake first. And it says that they all three had a meal together. And then that they ate for many days, the Hebrew reads really for about the space of a year. So they ate there for about a year. And at the end of that year then, the son of this widow woman falls sick and dies, and she is holding him, and he's dead. And notice what she said. This speaks of great humility. Man of God, have you come to remind me of my sins? No, I know I don't deserve a son, but my heart was given to him. Have you come to remind me that even that should be taken away from me? What a wonderful and humble attitude for a believer in the Lord to have. That the Lord is not apt to take away from us those things that we need, but those things that we don't. And that if those things being taken from us are a reminder of our sin and a drawing even closer to Him, who could rightly complain of such things? And yet that's not how the Lord works most often. Most often the Lord knows how to take those things from us that are not the most precious, but leaving those things for the sake of joy will take other things that have, quote, become too precious to us, that we might be reminded of our sins and draw near to Him. Of course, there's a happy story at the ending here, in that Elijah stretches himself upon the child three times and cries unto the Lord and says, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard him and gave the widow woman back her son. Because, beloved, the Lord is not such a taskmaster in that way. That widow woman had been commanded to feed Elijah, and the Lord provided what He had commanded for her. He's not the kind of Lord who commands and then takes away. He's rich, He's open. What the woman learned that day was that there is nothing that is too hard for God. There is nothing that she ought to love more than God. And Elijah, for his part, he learned persistence, because it took three times. And yet he was not deterred. He learned persistence. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Did she not know that before? I think there was a sense in which she knew it before. Otherwise, she wouldn't have given up her first handful of grain. But notice now how far that belief has gone, how much it has deepened and bottomed, how much more full it is, having lost and regained her son. Beloved, there is nothing that you lose that cannot be a means of broadening, deepening your faith. There's nothing in this world that you lose, but that it by the Lord might be turned to broaden and deepen and give glory and weight to your faith. With that then, let's continue praising God in the singing of